Before we have the message this morning, why don't we just have an altar prayer and pray for Linda. Those that will come, fine. If you want to make an altar there, prayer time there at your place, at your pew. So let's gather around the altar, those that will. And the doctors have not given very much hope. And when you get that kind of news, it's very devastating. And when they tell you just a few months, but I'm glad the Lord can overrule that. I'm not saying that He will, but I sure know He can. And so let's just pray and ask God's help to them and to her, and just pray the Lord's will be done. We're in His will, all things are well. Brother Larry, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Lord, Father, Lord, I turn to you again. We ask, Lord, that number one, for us to forgive all the sin in our lives. Forgive all the things that stand between us and our prayers being heard. So, Lord, we might focus on people that we love. Dear Lord, we might focus on Linda. Dear God, the need that she has in her life. Dear God, we know that you can do anything. And it's just perfect. Lord, that your will is unquestionable. But dear Lord, in our flesh, we don't know. And dear Lord, in our flesh, we fear. Lord, in our flesh, we have trouble.
Yes.
And dear God, we pray, Lord, seeking your will, your favor. Dear God, knowing that you know the end from the beginning. Dear God, that all things have a reason and purpose. Dear Lord, we've seen and we've heard of miracles before. Dear God, we've seen people that have been cured of things. Lord, we just stand waiting here for you. Dear God, knowing that whatever your will is, we'll still love you.
Amen.
We'll still praise you. But dear Lord, we feel for the people's family, just like that was our family. Lord, it could be my wife. It could be my daughter. Lord, what would I cry out to you then if it was my wife or my daughter? I'd cry that for my sister and for her daughters and for her husband. And Lord, we know how they feel. And Lord, we just pray and lift up to you those hurts, those fears, those things that they wonder about, Lord. And dear God, we just lift them up to you. And dear God, we know the answer that we want here in our flesh. But dear God, we want that which is best for what you want.
Yes.
And dear God, we can only wait to hear from you and what your will is. Lord God, I pray that you'll just remember each and every one. And dear God, that you'll help us, Lord, have her on our mind. Dear Lord, we might cry out to you for her. And not only for her, but for Howard also, Lord. Dear God, the things that's going on in his family.
Yes.
And those, dear Lord, the things that he has to deal with each and every day. Lord, the thoughts that are on their minds every waking moment, dear God.
Yes.
And the wonder and the hurt and dear God, just not being able to rest. Dear Lord, we pray for peace.
Yes.
Peace in those people's lives. Dear God, that they might just be able to rest in you and know that you love them. And dear God, I don't know what else to ask for, but I just thank you that you saved me. I thank you, Lord, that you have power. And I thank you, Lord, that sick people can be brought to you because you can do something with them. Ask you to forgive us our sins. Be at their service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we feel so very inadequate when you're in the hospital room with someone and you're inadequate to what to say and what to do. But I'm glad that we can pray, and the Lord can help and guide each one. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 1, we have the story here of the birth of John the Baptist, whom the Lord said was the greatest man that was born of woman. And in Luke chapter 1, we have the account of his birth. And, of course, Zacharias, when he was told of the birth of a son, he was taken and he could not speak. But when he hears that John, the babe has been born, then his tongue is loosed and he makes a statement concerning not only his son, but also the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to try to bring these verses together with a verse of Scripture found in the book of Acts, and then give you an example of what of that in the Bible. I hope it'll work out this morning. It's a little bit different. But in Luke chapter number 1, verse number... let's look at verse number 64. Luke chapter 1, verse 64 says, "His mouth," speaking of Zacharias, "his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came all them that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them to their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the name of the Lord was and the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied." Now notice the prophecy that he makes concerning his son, and then a verse concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve and serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace." That's reading through verse number 79. You'll notice here that Zacharias gave prophecy concerning his own son. He talks about this child that should be called the prophet of the highest, go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. And we know that John the Baptist was the preparer of the way. He was that one that preceded the Lord Jesus Christ and prepared the way for him. But then on down in verse number 78 and 79, Zacharias, I believe, gives a statement concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Notice this next phrase. "To give light to them that sit in darkness." Now if you would, turn over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. We find Luke is dealing with a great man by the name of John. Acts 26 here, we have the words of a great man named the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 12. Here is Paul. He is giving testimony before King Agrippa. And he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'" Here's a question that Saul heard from that voice of heaven. Says, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you going against the work of the Lord?" In verse number 15, Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now here is the command that the Lord gave to Paul in verse 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Now here in these two passages, there's a phrase that we catch, and it's has to do with darkness and light. And Zacharias tells us that Jesus came according to his tender mercy to give light to them that sat in darkness. And that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason that Jesus came to this world, was to reveal himself, which we know he is the light of the world, to a generation that has and is sitting in darkness. In Acts, we find the Apostle Paul. Now he's come down to he's gone through much of his time as far as preaching and going different places and his missionary endeavor. He's standing before a king now that really has the authority to give him his life or take his life. And Paul has appealed to Caesar, and on his way to Rome, he stands before King Agrippa. And he tells King Agrippa, he says, "When I first met the Lord," and we could go back to Acts chapter 9, and you'll find that the account given there of, I believe, the conversion of the Apostle Paul, or who was Saul at that time. And in Acts chapter 9, it does not give you all the details that Paul gives us in his personal testimony. And Paul being the recipient of that, I believe we can be rest assured that what Paul heard and what Paul tells us was true to the occurrence and to the event that had taken place. We have it revealed to us and preserved to us in our Bible. And so we know that it is here for a purpose and for a reason. And so we find that Paul says, "After I heard the voice and after I'd fallen to the ground," he said, I raised and to stand upon his feet. And the voice came to him and says, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." I'm glad to know that everything God does, he does according to purpose. He doesn't do it just to be doing it. There's a reason behind everything that God does. Now, we may not understand the reasoning. We may not understand why. But we can be resting assured in the Word of God that the Lord doesn't do anything just on the spur of the moment. He doesn't do anything just because something else has happened. What the Lord does, he does with a purpose. And we can say it in our terminology, he does it on purpose. He does it because he desires to do. And Paul tells us here that he hears the voice And it says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, to whom I send thee. And here's the purpose, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So the purpose of Jesus coming was to turn folks, to give them the true light, and to turn them from those that sit in darkness to give them light. The purpose of the Apostle Paul this morning is given here to open their eyes that they might see, and then that they might turn from darkness to light, that they might turn from wickedness, and goes on and talks about the power of Satan, turning from that power to the power of God. And so every time God does something in our life, He does it for a purpose and leaving us an example whereby we can understand that the Lord surely is in control. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about light and dark. One thing it says that they have nothing in common. What concord does light have with darkness? Or what a fellowship, what agreement does darkness and light have? There is none. And so we find the Scripture gives us much concerning this thing of having light and having darkness. Much is given to us in the Gospel of John. I want to read just a few verses here in John chapter number 1. Here we find in verse number 3, John says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, tying those things together, the same came for a witness, to bear a witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he was the light of the world. Thank God this morning we have the understanding that Jesus came as a light that shined in the darkness of the hearts of men, that they might believe and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 and verse number 20 of that same chapter of John, or chapter number 3 rather, of John, verse number 19, verse number 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why do they do that? Because their deeds are evil, and so they like evil things and darkness. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12 is another reference that we can go to concerning this light. Jesus spake unto them, and he's saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So the Scripture gives us much concerning light and darkness, good and evil, godliness and ungodliness. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should bring, show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. And so the Lord has called us out of darkness, and the Bible calls it the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. And as a believer now, we have been placed in the kingdom of light. And it is by the grace of God that we have been called unto that place. The Bible talks much and goes on about the light and the darkness that is upon men. Romans 2:19, we are to be the guide of the blind. We that are believers, we're to be a light unto them that are in darkness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, until the Lord come, who both will bring the light, the hidden things of darkness. He's going to bring it to light. He's going to reveal it. For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank God it has shined in our heart, and therefore we have the light of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8 says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. We have been delivered from the power of darkness according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. So there's much in the Scripture that deals with this thing of light and dark. A person that is lost, he sits in total darkness. There's not a ray of light. There's not a ray of hope outside of the grace of God that would come upon him. He is in total darkness outside the will of God, outside of the witness of God, outside of the wonderful wisdom of the Lord. He's there all alone, and he's without God. And the Bible says he's without hope in this world. But Jesus came to show forth light. John came to show forth, give forth that testimony of light. The Apostle Paul came that we might have light out of darkness. And you and I this morning, we have the same message that those folks had, that we're to tell people and reveal to them the light of the glorious message of salvation. Now, having said all of that, I want us to look at an example in the Bible, in the book of Acts, of a person that has gone, that is going from darkness unto light. This is a prime example found in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And I want us to notice some things about this man as we read here in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Having said all those other things, to look here at this passage. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that go down to Jerusalem, to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, notice here the direction of the Lord. Philip has left Gaza. He has left his place. He's going now to the desert. He sees this man over there. He has no idea who he is. He doesn't even understand what's taking place. But the Spirit says unto Philip, there in verse 29, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? Now, when the Lord spoke to Philip, if you're reading the verses just before this, you'll find that Philip was in a great movement, and there was a spiritual awakening taking place and people being saved. But in the midst of all of that, the Spirit or the angel of the Lord came to Philip, and he said, I want you to go down to the desert. Now, Philip, I'm sure, maybe wondered why. But being in the will of God, being in the presence of the Lord, he goes from Jerusalem, he goes to Gaza, he goes to the desert, and he finds a man of Ethiopia there. He sees him in his chariot, and he doesn't know what he's doing other than he knows he's reading. And as he draws closer, he hears him read, and he recognizes that he's reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And we understand that what he was reading, we recognize that it was Isaiah chapter 53 in our scriptures. Now, when Philip heard that, there wasn't any Isaiah 53. There was just the book of Isaiah. There was a scroll. There was a book of Isaiah that didn't have the numbers and didn't have the paragraphs and didn't have the chapter divisions. But we recognize it this morning as Isaiah chapter number 53. And here we find a prime example of a man that sat in darkness. Now, I believe he was religious because he was going to Jerusalem to worship. He had at least an assimilation of being religious. He had some kind of religious affiliation, and he was going to Jerusalem. The Bible says here that he was going to worship. And as he traveled, he stopped there, and he began to read Isaiah, what we know of as Isaiah 53. So I want us to see this man this morning in Scripture, that even though he was religious, he was in darkness. And I declare to you this morning, I believe most of religious people are still in darkness. They may name the name of Christian, They may have gone through the motions of what we say everybody's supposed to do, but I'm afraid that a majority of people that sit on church pews and people that serve on church boards and choir members and Sunday school teachers and yes, even behind pulpits, I'm afraid that there's a number of those folks that are still sitting in darkness. They have never had their eyes opened. They've never had their ears opened whereby they might hear or see the gospel and see the truth. And so this morning, this man that was a religious man, when he met Philip there in the desert, he had a great need, and I want us to look at this and how that he was changed from a man that was in darkness to a man that had a glorious experience with the Lord, and now he sits in life. What a pitiful sight we find in verse number 26 and 27 and 28, and down through verse number 31. We find this man, he was a man that had all kind of authority. He was a man that sat under and was ruled under the Queen of Ethiopia and had authority with her, but yet he was just a man there that had no understanding of spiritual things. He was a man there that was returning to Jerusalem, and he was returning, and he had gone to Jerusalem. Now he's returning, going back to Ethiopia, and he's sitting there reading the scripture. And I'm sure by reading these verses that he just did not understand what he was reading, and that's a terrible sight. To have a man that has authority, to see a man that is religious, to see an individual that can read his Bible, but yet he has no spiritual understanding of what it says. Now you can read as a person, even a lost person, you can read through your Bible five times a year, but it's not going to do much for you if you don't have spiritual eyes and a spiritual heart to understand what it says. It's just words on a page. It's just a word in a book. It's just a message that has no real life and no real understanding about that. And that is a pitiful condition for men and women to find themselves in, going through the motions of a believer, going through the motions of religion, but yet having no hope in their life that when they die, they can go to heaven and have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a terrible condition. To be sitting in the darkness, be sitting in the darkness of sin, the hold of Satan upon them, and yet being able to read the living Word of God. And so Philip comes to him, and he says in verse number 30, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" You know, anybody can read the Bible, but that doesn't mean it makes an effect, has an effect upon them. Anybody can read the Scripture, but that does not mean that it comes to life for them, because it can only happen when it is accompanied by the wonderful Holy Spirit. So Philip hears him read. He recognizes he's reading in the Old Testament. And he said, "Do you understand? Do you have an understanding about what you're reading?" In verse number 31, he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him, from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" So here we find Philip goes, and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he joins himself to this man that's reading the Word of God, reading and not understanding. Philip says, "Do you have understanding?" He said, "Well, no, I'm reading these words, and I'm reading about this lamb that's dumb, this lamb that's being killed, and how that he has been taken from in judgment, has been taken away, and I'm reading that somebody needs to declare his work and his generation, and how that his life was taken." And he says, "Is this prophet Isaiah, is he talking about himself, or is he talking about some other man?" Boy, what a wonderful introduction that was given there now that Philip could preach to him the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious story here from Isaiah 53. Our Lord had a sinless life, a sacrificial death, and a sure resurrection. And this man was reading all about that, and he had no understanding. That's still part of his pitiful sight and condition that he was in. He was reading the truths of God's Word, but yet it didn't mean anything to him. He was reading one of the greatest chapters of all the Bible that we declare even in our generation that it's one of the great chapters of the Bible, Isaiah 53, how that he was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Those are verses that we use continually and are great verses, but yet it had no meaning to this man that sat in darkness. It doesn't have any meaning to anybody else that sits in darkness, because these things are spiritually discerned. And so here we have this precious story. And Philip is asked the question, who speaks of? Who's this man talking about? Of himself or some other man? Notice verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. You can preach to the world Jesus Christ. This man that was sitting there, how he represents such a vivid representation of all mankind. He's just an individual. He's just a man. This man had authority. This man had religion. But there's a lot of people out there that have no authority. There's a lot of people that have religion. There's a lot of people that don't have religion. But yet they sit in darkness like this man. There's some of them that will read the Scripture, but yet they don't understand it. There are some of those that will not accept and will not read the Bible. But those that do, and they have some understanding maybe as far as physically that we do have a Bible, we do have a Word of God. And Philip heard him preach, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no, not really. I don't understand if the prophet's talking about himself or talking about some other man. Well, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus Christ, that's some other man. And he helps us, and he takes care of us. He delivers us. And so, at that point, Philip began to preach unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there in verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a powerful sentence that man said after hearing the Word of God proclaimed to him. Now, this wasn't some hit and miss thing. Philip spent some time with him, explaining to him what he was reading. And as Philip was preaching, the Holy Spirit of God was working. You see, for without that working of the Holy Spirit, there would be no realization of who Jesus was. And so they go on their way. I would have liked to have been in that chariot just for a little while. Maybe to have a secret microphone hid there and just be somewhere listening to the conversation that Philip had with this eunuch. How that he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he gave him the message that would result in him moving from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That would result in him going from a place setting in darkness now to a place revealing and setting in the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began and he preached to him the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to a certain water. Now, Philip didn't miss any. He didn't miss anything in his preaching, for this eunuch had no understanding of what baptism was beforehand, and he had no understanding of what was taking place. But somewhere along the line, as they were traveling, This eunuch believed and accepted what he read as the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had opened his heart. God had opened his ears. God had moved him from darkness to light. And he says to Philip, here's some water. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, he gives him the answer, if thou believest. You see, the only people that are supposed to be baptized, let me put it a little differently. The only people that are baptized are believers. Now he said, well, I know some folks that were lost and they got baptized. No, they just got ducked under the water. They didn't get baptized. Because baptism only takes place after regeneration, after salvation. And so, as they went along their way, they began, I'm sure, to discuss some of these things about what they ought to do. This eunuch, this Ethiopian, this man hears all the things about the Lord. He hears all the things about following the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. As I said the other last Sunday, the first step in obedience is baptism. And I believe Philip explained those things to him. And they come by this water, and the eunuch said, well, here's enough water. What hinders me from being baptized? The only thing that hinders a person from being baptized is unbelief and just not accepting. I know some folks that believe and some folks that have been saved and they haven't followed the Lord, but there's a form, there's a pattern that God gives us in His Word that when we believe, we're to follow Him and take that step of faith to reveal it to the whole world by a public profession of faith that we have been saved. And this is what that eunuch wanted. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what a wonderful statement that he made. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Enough said. He didn't have to have a long dissertation. He didn't have to have a long speech. He didn't have to do anything. He just said, I believe. Well, thank God this morning for I believe. From darkness to light. We have life given to us. We have light around us. And so we find when he makes this statement, in verse number 38, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Perfect picture. They both went down into the water. There was enough water there to baptize him. Baptism is a death, a burial, and it represents the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In picture, in type, we find that when a person's saved, they die to the sin of self. And when they come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, that baptism represents a burial. You're under the water. Immersion. There's much water. There's enough water here for that. And he takes and baptizes him and brings him up. And that represents and is in type of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chariot is commanded to stand still. They go both down into the water, baptizing him, picturing that death, the burial, and the resurrection. He has gone now from darkness to light. It wasn't anything spectacular openly that everybody knew about. Here, just one-on-one. Here's Philip, the preacher, the Ethiopian, the sinner, and the Spirit of God, the convictor. And there that day, sitting in that chariot, that man came to realize his condition. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm glad this morning I can say I believe the same thing. I believe He's the Son of God. I trust Him. I've accepted Him. I believe that He is my Savior. He took me from darkness and put me in the kingdom of light of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe. People that go to hell are non-believers. They do not believe. He said, well, would this Ethiopian, would he have been saved if he hadn't been baptized? Yes, because he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we have some Church of Christ friends that they really go to work on this passage of Scripture, but this passage does not teach baptismal regeneration. It teaches obedience. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. And here we find that this man, he found his way through the working of the Holy Spirit in his life. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says, I believe, and since I believe, I want to be baptized. I desire to have that. Notice verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Notice the last part. And he went on his way rejoicing. Here we have the personal satisfaction of doing what God tells us to do, to be saved and to follow Him in every way. He went his way rejoicing. The sad part about this man is that back in the first part of the verse, he was in darkness and didn't even realize it. I'm reading my Bible. Preacher, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing all the things that people tell me to do. I read my Bible through every year. I go to church. Do all these things, but that's not salvation. He was in darkness and didn't even know it. You know, I believe that this morning there's a lot of people that are in darkness and they still do not know it. I do all I'm supposed to do. Some of the saddest statements that have ever been said to me have been said by religious people. Someone not too long ago said, I know God hears my prayer. I know He loves me. But by all indications, they know not the Lord. I'm glad I can tell the world this morning, yes, God loves you. And yes, God will hear your prayer. And yes, you can take a trip from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. May God help us to be what the Lord wants us to be. Jesus came as a light unto the world. Zacharias prophesied concerning Jesus Christ that He came to turn them from darkness to light. The Lord told the Apostle Paul, here's the purpose. Here's why I've come to you. See, Paul had no inkling about becoming a Christian. Now, salvation is much stranger than we think it is. Paul wasn't looking and searching out to be saved. Paul wasn't under conviction even because he was going on the road to Damascus. He was going to the city of Damascus to kill Christians. And he certainly wasn't one that was looking for some kind of experience. And I'll tell you what, when the Lord comes on the scene, that makes all the difference in the world. And Jesus told Paul, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. You go to the Gentiles, you preach to them, you'll open their eyes, and you'll turn them from darkness to light. That's the will of God for Paul's life. And I believe when we get saved, I believe that's the will of God for our life. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be from behind this pulpit, whether it be out on the street corner, whether it be in your family gatherings, whether it be just in passing, we're to tell people, at least give them the opportunity to understand and to know there is a God in heaven. And then we must leave the rest of it up to the Lord. They can read their scripture, but they may say, I can't understand this unless some man show me. And we can be that some man, that some person. And all we can do is point them to that other man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Lord. May God help us this morning to help people to understand. That's bad terminology. To help people to show them the way, to show them the truth, to show them the life, to be that witness so that the Holy Spirit of God can prick their heart and make them realize and understand, I don't know. I have no way of understanding unless some man guide me. And God used Philip. And God, through the Holy Spirit, dealt with his heart. And the last thing that's said about him, he went away rejoicing. We don't know his name. We don't know anything else about him. He doesn't come up in Scripture anymore. One thing for sure, according to his testimony, recorded in the Word of God, and according to my faith, that I believe the same thing, one day I'll meet him. One day I'll see him because of the power of a holy and a righteous God whom we serve. Let's stand together this morning.